Time now is 8:30. This is FM 95.7, KQWC, Webster City, on this Monday morning, this ninth day of August. 15 days and counting before start of another exciting school year. It's our community corner time for this Monday morning, being joined with Webster City Superintendent Dr. Mandy Ross in our studio. So, Mandy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Hard to believe, back to school.
It was a fast summer, as it always is.
Yeah, we had the kids count early this year, didn't they?
Yes. May. Yep. They were out at the end of May. You're right.
Yeah, that was kind of fast and furious.
Yep. It was kind of how the whole school year went, I think.
Mm-hmm. So as I was saying, we're now 15 days away from the start of another exciting school year. So we've got some exciting things parents need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to start off first about the school year as a whole.
Well, let's start off by saying that we have two new administrators on our administrative team at the high school. Richard Hutchinson has joined us as our new high school principal. And at Pleasant View, Tiffany McConnelly has joined us as the PV principal for grades K and 1. So we're very excited to have them on board. And we'll also be welcoming about 13 new teachers to our staff. And Jama Hisler, our Director of Teaching and Learning, is responsible for onboarding those folks. So we really look forward to seeing them next week and welcoming them to our school district and making sure they know what it's like to be a great teacher in the Webster City Schools.
And in the coming days, there will be special programs for these teachers learning all about what the Webster City Committee is like.
Exactly. We've got a couple of days where they will be learning, you know, different things that we do, so that it's not just about being a great teacher, but being a great teacher in the Webster City Schools. And I think that's an important part of our onboarding process. So they get assigned a mentor so that there's somebody they can reach out to routinely. And we do something similar with our administrators as well. So it's just a really good onboarding process to make sure that we show them not only what it is to be a good administrator, to be a good teacher, but to be great in the Webster City Schools and continue to serve the needs of our students.
Mandy, where are these teachers from, by the way?
Just a kind of a smorgasbord of where they're from, but I'm also excited to know and let you know that there are teachers who are Webster City grads coming on board. So I don't have my numbers on where everybody's coming from at this point in time, but a little bit of here and a little bit of there.
Mm-hmm. And these meetings will go on this next week. Isn't there going to be a back-to-school welcoming breakfast for
these
teachers?
It would be not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday. And usually, as you all know, we have that at the middle school. But because we're trying to spread people out just a little bit more, we're going to move our welcome back to Briggs Woods, to the conference center, just so that we can spread people out a little bit more and have some more space with the current state of the pandemic.
All right. So that's coming up on, let's see, that would be Thursday, the 19th?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, 19th of August was when they had the back-to-school breakfast. Now, between now since the end of May there, Mandy, there's been some building improvements going on.
Exactly, there has been. So, as the public may recall, the board approved adding air conditioning to Sunset Heights and Pleasant View. And that's something so that our youngest members of our student population can have a more welcoming learning environment. It also helps with the mitigation of the airflow. So that's an important piece, too. So when students and parents and staff, quite frankly, start coming back here, they're going to see that in some parts of the building, there are ceiling tiles displaced in the hanging ceilings so that the construction workers can get up to the higher parts of the ceiling where the ductwork runs through. And so in order to help educate our staff and our students and our parents about what that's going to look like, the principals, Kelly Reese and Tiffany McConnelly, are working with a group to do a video so that people can see ahead of time what it is that they're walking into, and it's not a big surprise to see that, you know, there's some ceiling tiles out. But really, the construction company, Peterson Construction, has been phenomenal about making sure that we're teed up well for school coming back on board and making accommodations. It just might look a little bit different and a little bit more construction-y, if you will, as staff and students and parents start coming back into our buildings. And teachers, I believe, have access to their classrooms starting on the 11th. So, you know, if they're a little surprised about what they see, it's temporary. And in the long run, it'll be worth the inconvenience, because one of the things that we know is that the timeline on a lot of the parts of the construction project have been offset by the fact that we can't get all the materials that we need due to the pandemic. There's some shortages on electronics, for example, for the cooling system. But the thing that we're trying to make sure is that everything's teed up nicely so that the when we get into heating season, that's not a problem. But we really won't see air conditioning functioning until next spring just because we don't expect the HVAC units to be actually in the district until hopefully October. But everything is just back ordered and it's all pandemic related, much like you can't get a car the same way that you're typically able to get those just because of the lack of availability of electronics. So it's impacting our project as well, and we know that. And we're just really working hard to be patient and keep the communication flowing.
Do you think we'll see the day, Mandy, that we might see school end of the summertime, probably when you and I are probably gone from the earth, I suppose, probably something in into June, July? What?
You know, I think it depends because in my way of thinking, it would be optimal to have year-round school because really – you don't have that learning loss that happens over the 2 months, 2.5 months over the summer. And that is a fact. I mean, kids lose some of their reading abilities, some of their math abilities. And so teachers spend the first few weeks, maybe even up to a month in the fall, just reteaching, getting kids caught back up. And, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike. It's not that kids lose it altogether, but it takes them a while to get used to being back in that situation. And so you see some schools, you know, there are more pockets of schools as opposed to school districts that are offering year-round learning. And it might be something to look into down the road, but it requires that you have air conditioning in all of your in the facilities where you're offering the year-round learning because you can't very well do it with the kind of heat that we've experienced this summer.
Case in point is because what you're talking about, all the air conditioning units, it's being installed in these schools already.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's just going to take some time, but by the time next spring rolls around, we are cautiously confident that we will have air conditioning so that we can go into cooling instead of heating when the weather prompts that.
All right, now let's play the devil's advocate for just a moment. No, for the last few winters, because of the COVID situation, we've had this online learning thing. Will that happen when there is school being dismissed during this winter season ahead there, Maddie?
So basically, the state has told us that if we have snow days and continue to do online learning of any variety, that that does not count towards our number of days for school. So that is probably going to be a straight snow day unless the state changes their perspective on that.
Because that really helped out in a way last year, this online learning bit. Instead of, well, school's going to be canceled today, but by golly, if you have online learning, then you'll have school.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard teachers say that. It made a difference when they came back the next day and kids didn't just slide. They had a little piece to build on from what happened the day before the snow day. So we'll see. That could change too, but right now the game plan is a snow day is a snow day, and we'll roll with that as best we can.
We'll be waiting for your phone calls coming up this winter.
Amen, right?
Yeah, amen to that, my dear. We're talking with Mandy Ross, superintendent of the Webster City Community Schools, as we're talking about back to school. Now, we were also talking about projects going on at the elementary centers. What about at the middle school? Any improvement there?
Just there's some things that people won't see, basically, to keep our HVAC units there in check and keep them up to date. So it's nothing that's going to be visible, you know, just other than the usual summer cleaning.
Okay. And the high school.
So the high school is another issue that the board is wrestling with. Several months ago, we had FEH architects do a facility study at the high school just to evaluate the building itself to see if, given the size of the classrooms, which we know created a bit of an issue with our COVID mitigation last year, we have substandard size classrooms at the high school. And so also the age of the building made the board say, what are we going to do? What's the long-term plan with Webster City High School? And so in their conversations with the architect, they've got some recommendations. And so they're going to be looking at whether it's best to try to do some renovation or whether new construction would be the better answer to what do we do with the high school down the road. Now, realistically, it's probably a 2 to 3 year project of making those decisions, getting community input, and regardless of which direction the board would choose to go, whether it's renovation or new construction, it's going to require a bond referendum. And so we also have to get our financial situation in check for a bond referendum, because we still have some other projects that we're paying off, including the competition gym. So once those things are done, then we can really take a look at what the logical next step is. So there's some variety of different moving parts, including decision on whether to build or renovate, and then getting financials ready. And it means that we have to get that house in order as well.
But there will be no change whatsoever to the gymnasium. That,
no.
That is a beautiful facility.
It is a gym.
Kind of the showcase in a way for athletic events.
It absolutely is. And, you know, that's what people think of when they come into the high school at Webster City, is they look at it and they go, wow, this is an amazing gym. As a matter of fact, I had another school district a couple weeks ago that wanted to come up and look at our gym because they're trying to do some things with theirs. And they were using ours as kind of their showcase of what they want theirs to look like.
It's hard to believe 60 years that the high school building is that old.
Yeah.
And seen a lot of usage through that time.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of good things going on in that building. And we just want to make sure that the street view of our schools and the internal view of our schools really matches the quality of the education that's happening within those buildings.
Mm-hmm. Quite the challenge indeed. Okay, we're talking with Mandy Ross on our Community Corner today on KQWC. So what's our next topic?
Focus on? I know that a lot of parents are probably asking themselves, you know, what's going on with the pandemic and schools.
Right.
And so I think that that's a topic that we want to touch on, even though a lot of the answers to questions right now is we don't know. If you've been listening to the news, which I know you do.
Yeah.
And you give it as well.
Yes, I do.
That the pandemic is kind of coming back around with another, with the Delta variant. There's another one too, and I can't remember how they're labeling that one. And so we're just kind of watching to see what's going on, because we don't want to make decisions prematurely and have to change and change and change, which was the case last year. And so before we make any final announcements on what we are and are not doing, you know, we're going to want to see in the next week, week and a half, what's going on and make some firmer decisions, hopefully. So right now, we don't anticipate starting with masks at school, simply because the governor in Iowa has determined that that's not going to happen. But we also want to make sure that we're supportive of those staff members, those students, and anybody else who comes into our schools who decide that they choose to wear a mask. And so we want to make sure that it's a safe environment to do that if they choose to. Last week, we had our administrative retreat, and I asked our administrators to make every effort to increase social distancing in their buildings without doing something like the hybrid model like we did at the high school. We're not looking at any of that right now. But how do we spread kids out? How do we spread staff out so that we don't have close contact, even though the rules for isolation and quarantine have changed somewhat? We want to make sure that we are looking out first and foremost for the safety and health of every single person in our buildings. So we'll be looking at those. And I'm also looking to invite some of our local medical professionals into a conversation about collaborating on what's best for our community and how does that play into our schools. So I'm hoping to do that here in the next week or so. But we also expect that there are going to be changes in our schools as a result of the various changes in the virus. And so we, like last year, are really prepared to kind of turn on a dime, make adjustments, look at our communication vehicles to do that. But the other thing is that until there's a need, we are not planning on offering online options at this time. So again, That could be a change that we have to make, but we're not looking at online options simply because we saw that there was more learning loss and it was harder to get kids caught up when they were trying to learn remotely, not to mention the fact that a lot of times the teachers were in the classroom with their kids in the room itself, and then they had some other kids off-site learning remotely, and it made for just a lot of challenge to keep the kids in the classroom activated and learning and to keep those who were remote active and learning. So Yeah, we're just thinking that at this point in time, the online learning piece is going to be set aside, at least at this point.
I'll tell you one thing, Mandy. We learned our lessons back in 2020, that spring, because school ended in March, and the governor canceled the whole school year, I think, what was it, back in April of that same year?
Yeah, it was either late March or early April, and, yep.
No school for the rest of the year. You didn't know whether to cry or laugh after all that. That was kind of a shocker.
It was definitely shocking, and, you know, yet you still have to get some kind of balance in those things. And so, you know, if we get to that point again, then we'll reactivate some of what we learned from last year.
And parents have been talking to principals about this.
Just a little bit. I haven't heard a lot yet, but I think that as school gets closer, we'll have parents with opinions on what we should do or what they need for their children. And our principals are equipped to really help to meet their needs. What does that look like? Does your child need to wear a mask? Does your child need to have a little extra space in the classroom? What does it really look like in order to get kids back in the building? Because we know that that's the best way for them to learn.
Are we still doing like the shows like for music programs this fall that are mandated?
We have not gotten into those discussions yet, and we haven't received guidance from the state organizations that really oversee those rules. So to be determined.
And that's the same with the athletic events, too.
Right now, we haven't heard no additional guidance from the athletic unions for either the boys or the girls.
And this is the opening day for the fall sports season, too. They have football, cross-country, and volleyball, hoping to get some people attending these events, which was the case last year.
I hope so. I really do. I think it's good for the community. We just want to make sure that we do it safely. And so, again, as the situation changes and adjusts, we'll do the same.
And we had great turnout, Mandy, this summer for the Webster City High School volleyball, baseball, and softball programs. Yep. What a great year it's been for these teams.
Absolutely, it has been. I'm really proud of how well the kids did, how well the coaches did. And I think sometimes you just don't recognize how much the community rallies around our athletics, but rallies around the schools, and we are so grateful for that because not every community enjoys the kind of community support we have here in Webster City.
Well, let's hope some bigger and better things will come up next summer for these programs, especially now we're heading to the fall season.
Yep.
With that. Let's see. We talked about sports. Let's see. Do we have any I know if we're about 2 weeks away from the program for high school parents, as well as for those involved with who will be new to the school district, or maybe the freshman. That is the program at 6 o'clock on the 23rd of this month. That is welcoming these kids to school. Are we doing something else at the other schools, like the middle school?
So each of the schools is pushing out to their families the information for their back-to-school activities. Mm-hmm. And on the Monday and Tuesday, that first week of school, we'll be offering at the elementaries just one-on-one conferencing with the teachers so that the teachers and the parents get to know one another and best how to meet the needs of the individual students. So that was something that we employed first of all last year, and it really got some rave reviews from staff as well as parents. And so we're implementing that again this year. And again, that information is being pushed out by each individual building principal so that they will get that out to their families, and the families then know where to ask questions should those arise.
Mm-hmm. But no open houses whatsoever at the middle school. They're doing that this year too.
I have not seen their schedule yet, so I can't speak to that. Okay. That's something I didn't check into before I came. I'm sorry, Pat.
That's fine. I'm sure there'll be something forthcoming.
Yes. Yep. I know that Jerry Boozman will be pushing that out to families as well.
And again, orientation for the high school is coming up 2 weeks from this evening on the 23rd.
Yes.
Premsai Auditorium. I saw that.
Yes.
So, very good. Anything else for the good of the cause there this morning, Mandy?
I think those are the big things that are going on right now, Pat. As I said, you know, the hard thing about starting this school year is that there are a lot of variables that we are still waiting to learn a little bit more about, get further guidance, and we need to depend on our medical professionals and the state to provide us with that guidance. And we will push information out to our families as quickly as possible. And obviously, our Facebook page, our district webpage, and media such as yourself.
Oh. Almost says we're out of time or something with that. But anyway, Maddie, it's been an enjoyable time. We hope to get you back on here from time to time during the school year.
Always happy to be here.
Sounds good. So Mandy Ross, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Pat.
And that does it for our Community Corner. It is 8:50. This is KKWC.
Highlighting female entrepreneurs.